get ready to rock.
FM and they selected it as their band to put forward for this year to play on the Riverside
stage. Right, because it's not a bad slot. You've got 8 o'clock on there as well, isn't it?
Just between Kate Keane and Katie Tunstall somewhere. And else, I can't. I never get a name
Elkie
right.
Brooks.
Elkie Brooks. Interesting for us to be at this kind of festival as opposed to like a blues festival or something like that. It's nice to spread into a different.
Because we've done lots of the blues rock festivals to sort of come up the ranks through that, and then. Doing these is like a whole new world to us. It's great, we love it.
Because you've got Rambling Man, haven't you, at the end of this month?
Yeah, 2 weeks today we're playing Rambling Man,
You've got quite a lot of blues festivals.
Compton Blues the day after that, So it's good fun. It's nice to play some of them. We've been trying to play some of these festivals for a while, so it's nice to get into them and like get the ball rolling a little bit.
Because where's Rambling Man? What day on there?
We're on the Saturday at 1:25. On the rising stage.
Which is very specific of a time.
But we have to be there at 10 a.m. I think. Just load it and sound check.
That'll be fun.
We'll get to Maidstone Kent from Shropshire for 10 a.m.
I was going
to
say, it's a bit of a trekking down, isn't it?
Fun times. And we're notoriously known for being getting up very early. Yeah. That's our normal thing to do.
Yeah, obviously.
It's a wild claim to fame, really. You know? Every other band gets about 4 in the afternoon and going for 5 in the morning. So.
After this, do you stay here overnight?
We got here yesterday. We've just been enjoying the festival.
Oh, that's cool. Some of them are quite strict, aren't they? The band you're on, and then you turf you off to go.
They're really nice. They gave us passes for us to stay for the whole weekend, plus ones.
That's not bad at all.
We can pitch up
a
tent and get on.
So nice.
Yeah, it's going to say, but I'm here because they're lucky with that, they gave you a plus one because a lot of them don't.
You
just get it, and you've got strict time as well, so that's pretty cool. I know it's where you're playing the Czech Republic, you've got quite a lot of that.
Yeah, we got
is that on your own steam, or that your co-headline?
It's our own tour,
just a contact,
through a mutual contact with Catfish, I think, and they got in touch and said, and I booked it 2.5 years ago, and forgot about it.
Oh, right.
And then I got this email from him saying, here are your dates for the Czech Republic, and I was like,
we have to book an accommodation for a whole tour now.
That was all sorted. All I've got to do is get there and get back. They sort everything else out.
Is it about 8-9? It's quite a lot of dates.
We're there for 2 weeks. We've got 14 gigs. It's definitely a fair old amount of shows. Be all right though, and then we come back and we'll start doing some UK shows at Australia Way pretty much. It's not been announced yet, but there's a tour in the makings for when we come back of the UK. Not so back to back, but over for several weeks. So we'll do try and get as many places as we can.
Is that, again, you're going to do as headline tour?
Yeah, because we've been so busy supporting everyone. We kind of like, which is great. It's really because we get to play to new audiences and bigger crowds as well, you know, and that's
what the Temperance Movement was such an opportunity for us. So it's hard to turn down, you know.
Is that the London show you played?
We played at the Inshire Arts Club in Scotland, just outside Perth. It was beautiful gig, wasn't it? It's a cool gig, man. It was really cool. And then we did Willing the Bandits, Temperance Movement, and Buck and Evans all within like a month of each other. We played all those people. But it's like when you do a support, obviously you're a support. Your role is different. When we go on our own shows, we get to deliver our show how we want to deliver it, which is cool. And I think, you know, and there might be some new songs we've got to play as well, which is always fun.
Cool.
But that'll be smart.
Try out a few new things.
So obviously your first album came out last year. That's really, really good album. But have you been quite pleased by the reception you've had so far?
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's hard, isn't it, when you're new, like, say, new band to get people out there listening to, isn't it? Because I imagine the hardest part is getting it reviewed and getting the airplay sort of thing.
Politely, I don't really mind what the reviewers say or not about it. Because we do it to, like, it's personal. There's messages in it. It's got meanings behind the songs and what we're trying to say and achieve. Like, and like parts of my life are in those songs. And like, so for me, it was kind of a relief to get the album out. It's like we can move beyond those things that we're writing about and move into the next phase, which I get more excited about. Yeah. It's not that I am now not interested in that. It's just I wanted to, like, I don't know.
It does feel like an age ago that we released.
Yeah.
It feels like so long ago. Yeah.
The release is like the final bit. You know, you spend ages getting to that point, don't you? So, I think it's been received really well. And
I think we were just happy to finally get an album together because we wanted to for so long, and then to get it on vinyl as well. It was like just another one of those bucket list things for us, like vinyl album done.
I know that a lot of people do just Spotify releases and like all that stuff, and I get that, but for us it was my worst fear was when I got to be an old man would be that I wouldn't have that tangible physical product and be like, no, I made that. That's a collection of my our songs, and like that it means something, and I'll be able to hold that and show someone that was me. You know, it creates a little bit of a physical stamp that I existed in the world, which I kind of like.
And an added bonus to that would be if it's well received as well. That's an added bonus to that.
So obviously, like say, touring now. Will you start working on new songs?
Yeah. Well, we've been so busy. This year it's been nuts.
Yeah, it's like, flown by.
Yeah, I can't believe it's always halfway through 2019. Yeah. But but we've we're always writing, really. There's always ideas floating around, and it comes from anywhere or any of us, you know, bass lines or drum beat or guitar parts, you know, and like I think we're enjoying the writing process more than we ever have, I think, at the moment.
We're delving deeper into it than we ever did before, and I think that what we get out of it is going to be so much better. We're putting more into it.
We didn't do a half-assed job last time. It's just that we've learned more from doing the last album. Doing an album was a whole other thing to recording a few songs for an EP. You know,
I think the debut was a bit of a learning process for us, I think the next one's I'm excited.
Yeah, there's some of the new stuff we're writing.
And will you work, because the first one is your self-produced one, isn't it?
The album? Yeah. No, we worked with a producer.
I was going to say, would you work with the same producer?
That's the plan. We work with Tom Gittins at Monochrome Studio, sorry.
Monochrome Productions.
We learned so much from working with him. He taught us a lot about it's stuff that we didn't even know we were doing. He said, you're doing it naturally, which is great, but you don't know you're doing it, so you don't know to explore it, or you know, and that's because we're too invested in the song and too close to it, and having someone outside look into what you're doing is really useful.
The fifth ear, as we call it.
You know, because they're not close to the song. They're listening to it from what you've described and what you're saying you want it to say, and they can help you bring it out of itself, and stretch you in both senses. So like if you want it to be louder or more aggressive, or maybe it should be quieter and softer, and give the album and the songs more breadth that way, which is really cool.
And obviously, it's not full time for us. I just sort of juggle it to do the music, because that's sort of what they always find hard for bands, isn't it? Because unless you're full time, when you get, like you say, you've got 2 weeks and Czech Republic, it's sort of juggling that.
It's difficult, but you just make it happen.
These are why aren't so much at weekends. Festivals aren't too bad, are they? Because, you know,
It's still everything's just a juggling act, and I don't think that ever changes. I think that's the same as in like everyone's life, whatever their job is, whatever they do, they're still juggling stuff around to do things they want to do, and that's what we're doing. What we do sacrifice is our spare time.
We love doing this so much. It doesn't really feel like you're sacrificing anything at the same time.
You know, it just get busier so we can do it all the time, innit? Do this every weekend, lads.
I could do this.
Well, you know, getting to come and play at a festival every weekend over the summer, I'm fine with that.
I get used to that.
Yeah. Camping or no camping. Tent or no tent, Charlie.
We'll be glamping before you know it, mate.
So what sort of set will you play tonight? Have you got half an hour or an hour? How long they get on this?
40-odd minutes, 40, I think.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's an alright set length, to be fair.
It's not too bad.
A good mixture. Yeah, a good mixture. No, we've got a It's a lot of most of the material from the album.
Yeah, mostly.
And you know, sort of when you play a festival, do you throw in a cover or two or not? Or do you?
Yeah, but we still play like.
I mean it's hard,
we'll play like a Gary Clark Jr. cover tonight, yeah. But like, still a lot of people don't know who Gary Clark Jr. is. General public. So we're still not playing a cover.
Yeah, because
the obvious thing to do would be play like a Hendrix tune or something that everyone would know, but we don't want to do that. We're trying to like make a point of like going, there's just stuff you probably don't know.
Yeah. Ever since we first started in pubs, we didn't play the stuff everyone wanted to hear all the time.
That wasn't what we were there for.
We just like playing stuff that we love to play.
Well, it's fair play to you, in fact, because that's how a lot of bands often start, isn't it? Because they cover heavy sets and we did
stuff like Watchtower back in the day and like Hey Joe.
Which everyone does that. Yeah.
We were fortunate enough that people were happy for us to play whatever we wanted. They said it sounded good and they liked it. And we were like, well, we'll just do what we like then. If everyone's happy and no one cares, that's what we did in pubs. We used to play all our original material in the pub and no one cared. They said they actually said we didn't know if she'd played an original one, which I always took as actually a massive compliment. So if it's snuck in between,
they assume it's a song already.
Then that's great.
I was going to say, is it quite often to get gigs in the UK? Because it's quite, there's a lot of venues closed and it's quite...
Yeah, but I think there are venues closing and it's difficult, but there's probably a bit of an oversaturation as well. You know, there can only be so many people in so many places or go to so many shows.
Oh yeah, exactly.
I think actually a lot of the problem is oversaturation in this country, but as many as are closing, there are new different ones opening. You know, what a music venue is or was has changed. It doesn't have to be something hidden away in the back anymore. It could be something crazy and interesting and new and different. You know, you can make a gig anywhere now. You know, so I try and take the approach of being like, go where the new stuff's happening, where it's interesting. If it's changing, I like that.
It's not like those sofa sound or sofa sound.
Anything like that.
So you haven't even been playing someone's front room or whatever, doing cameras. Yeah. 10 people sit down like this and listen to it.
The challenges have always been there. They're just different now. Back 50, 60 years ago, the challenge would have been to even have a guitar.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone had access to those things. So, like, the fact that that's not a problem anymore is a win. You know, so if there's... Yeah, I mean, I don't want to see venues closing at all, but it's the nature of any business. Stuff closes and stuff opens, and you go through dry spells and good spells. So...
Because the festivals like Cornwall do well, and you know, there's plenty of rock festivals as well, and the blues festival. The blues scene seems to be sort of really on quite an up and up at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of that's, you know, I think that's to do with age range as well, money. You know, like a lot of youngsters, we don't have any money. Yeah. If I wasn't playing here, I could not afford to be here.
Oh no! I couldn't afford to be here.
So, you know what I mean? Like, and likewise, I couldn't afford to go and watch a couple of bands a week because I'd be like, I've got to be at work, or I'm, you know. I think a lot of younger people are very busy and finding like hard to find time and the money to have the chance to do that stuff. And I'm not saying when you're older, all those things are gone away, but I think it comes a certain point where you have perhaps a little bit more of a financial ease. You're not, you know, like stuff is getting paid off rather than just taking it on.
Yeah.
I think therefore the more those people are going to shows, then they're spreading it around. So it's fine by me. I don't know what it was like back in the day, but it's different. It's moved on. That's just how it is, you know.
Oh, it is. But I say, back then, I used to do all the gigs as student gigs. It was massive, you know, the sort of student circuit for bands. But I don't think that's.
But also, a lot of the gigs could be almost nothing or free, weren't they?
Oh yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
The bands were lucky if they got petrol money. It was like you're lucky because you're playing student. You know. Even I put gigs on about 10, 15 years ago at the Brentford Football Club, you know, there we couldn't afford much. We used to pay the band petrol money, maybe 50, 100 quid, something just for covering this.
Yeah, and these festivals are fantastic to reach new audiences. Like, we played in Wilderness Festival last year, and we played a show in Bristol, and one guy turned up and said, I saw you playing in Wilderness, and I brought 20 mates. So I said, all I remember is I enjoyed it, so I hope I was right. I mean, it's like that, and thankfully said he was. but at the same time, that made such a huge difference to that gig for us that he brought 20 people along.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like that was just by chance doing one show at one festival last year. So, like,
we didn't think anybody was.
Exactly. So, like, it makes all the difference sometimes.
I suppose merchandise as well, isn't it? Because that's key for bands as well, isn't it? If you can sell some CDs or t-shirts.
Yeah, absolutely. A bit harder at festivals, I find.
Oh, yeah, I think here.
There's a lot more money being spread everywhere, isn't there?
Yeah, so. I think here, and it's quite lucky if you can actually sell it.
We always had to take the approach, have it available and mention it, but don't expect much. But, you know, it costs a lot to be here for the weekend, doesn't it, for people?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, well, it's good. Last one, Craig. You've just got a message for your fans.
Thank you. Yeah. I know everyone says it's the Adol Adage, but it's like, thank you.
Yeah.
We started this band, what, four, five, six years ago, something like, I don't know. Just on a bit of a whim, really. And not even to get to do any of this, we're just going to gig in pubs. That was all our thought process was. It was to write some songs because we wanted to. Nothing else of it, really. And so if I could have told myself when I was 12, 14 years old and I wanted to be in a band that I was going to do half the things we've already done, I'd be over the moon.
Yeah.
And I have to remind myself of that.
Yeah,
it's only because people like what we're doing and followers and supporters and letting people know we exist. Word of mouth, man.
It's still the most powerful sharing.
Yeah, it is. Especially nowadays, to be fair, with social media.
People like yourselves that take the time to say, let's have a chat, and all of it helps. So, we're just thankful.
Yeah.
Just wholeheartedly thankful, And see you at a show.
Yeah. That's very important, isn't it?
Yeah. Please.
This is a bit off the road, but I've got to ask you, is it Shrewsbury or Shrewsbury?
Depends which side of the river you live.
Yeah, well, you see, because I originally come from Stoke-on-Trent, so I say Shrewsbury.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, that's what we say.
But I think your side say Shrewsbury.
You can kind of tell.
Shrewsbury. This is the most hard-hitting question of the interview, right?
Yeah.
How do you pronounce Shrewsbury?
Ash is from Dunedin, so...
Yeah, it doesn't really count.
You can say Shrewsbury.
how dare you? I say Shrewsbury. Yeah.
Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah. No, it's... We get asked that a lot. I actually think it was... I'm sure we saw an old map once, so down in Church Stretton. And the old English spelling of Shrewsbury was Shrouesbury. So I think that's why it would have been Shrewsbury. But the way people spell things in the English language changed a bit and it became Shrewsbury. And I think as it's written, it's probably Shrewsbury. But there is this old part of it, it's Shrewsbury. And there is also a contingent of people that say...
He's just clinging on to tradition.
They just sound a bit... a little bit more affluent and they do say Shrewsbury and that's fine. Thank you very much. We've got to go and get our gear around to there and start loading everything around.